All right, so in November, I went on a two-day spiritual retreat to a place called McCormick's Creek, the state park near Spencer, Indiana. And there, I was really hoping to have maybe sort of like an experience where Moses had on the mountain, where God just like spoke to him in a real clear way, gave him a list of instructions to carry back to the people. But McCormick's Creek is not Mount Sinai, and I'm not Moses, and there aren't any mountains there either. So I went there and just praying, and again, just hoping that God would, you know, say something to me or make some things clear. And as I did, again, there were no written instructions. There was no like epiphany that was undeniable. But as I thought about it, there was someone else who had gone to a mountain, because I did it a little bit different. I went into a canyon and climbed up a bluff and kind of looked at a waterfall. And I had this thought, again, of someone else who was on a mountain with God and with Moses, and we'll talk about that person later. But we're doing this thing called Something Beautiful, where we're looking at the gospel of Jesus, and we're looking at the gospels written in the New Testament, the first four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the people who have passed on the gospel to us. So we're specifically, these first four have been looking specifically at people who wrote down the gospel. And today we're looking, who are we looking at today? John, right? We're looking at John today, and we're asking this question: why did God use John? What was it maybe about John where God chose him to be one of the four people to write down the gospel of Jesus Christ in a book form? So we're talking about John. John is actually the gospel writer that we know the most about, so we could say a lot about him. And we're not going to try to be exhaustive and say everything about him, because we couldn't do that. But I figured where we were going to start today is with this story that he tells. It's when Jesus is hanging on the cross and all his male disciples have abandoned him. Female disciples had the courage to stick around and be there. But the one male disciple that was there that had the guts to show up when Jesus was on the cross was John. And so this is a story that he tells about that experience where he had at the foot of the cross, where he was, again, the guy, and he was with women. When Jesus saw his mother there, so Jesus hanging on the cross, and he sees his mom, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that's code for John, Jesus said to his mom, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, maybe when you see this and somebody's saying the disciple to whom, or how does the disciple whom he loved, like it may seem a little bit arrogant. It may seem like he's saying he's the favorite. But I don't think that that's what John is saying at all. I don't think he's saying, "I was Jesus' favorite. I was the best one." I think he's saying something else. Before we maybe get into try to answer that, what John was trying to say by calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved, I want to ask this question. It doesn't have an answer, but it's for us to speculate. And that question is, why do you think Jesus chose John to take care of his mother? What are some possible motives that you can think of that Jesus would have for asking John and his mother to join up? Go ahead and throw one out if you got one. What's that? Because he was there. That's right. He was the one who actually showed up. If you want somebody to take care of your mom, you want somebody who's going to show up, not just talk about it, but actually make it there. So that's a great answer. And you got nothing to fear, because you're about ready to move, right? Just throw it out there. No pressure on you. Everybody else has a little more pressure. All right, what are some other ideas? Why do you think maybe Jesus asked John to take care of his mom and his mom to go in with John? What are some other reasons? Trust. There's something about John and his character where Jesus trusted him. Now, here's another little tidbit through the Gospels, but we know that not only were John and his brother, he had a brother named James, so they shared a mom, and then there was a third one, Peter, who's sort of like the most famous maybe, but the three of them were Jesus' inner circle. They did some special things together with just the four of them, Jesus and those three. So John's mom raised two out of the three people that were in Jesus' like inner circle of his 12 disciples. And not only that, we know that their mom, James and John's mom, was also, she spent some of that time traveling with Jesus too. So she was no stranger to Jesus. She had been there. We don't know how much of it she was there for. She could have been there the whole 3 years. But we know that she was very familiar with Jesus and obviously her sons. But so Jesus, this means that Jesus had the chance to observe and to see how John had interacted with his mom. I was reading a book by a basketball coach not long ago, and he was talking about the recruits that he will recruit into his program. And he said no matter how good a kid is at basketball, if he sees a kid that's disrespectful to his mom, he won't recruit him. And I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. You don't want, if a player is just going to be a jerk to his mom, you don't want him. Just write him off. But Jesus had seen John and his mom interact a lot. So he knew kind of the relationship that John was going to have with his mom too. John was a close friend. Maybe he is talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. Maybe he felt like a best friend, the one that the best man that maybe you would turn to. Trust, as Rita mentioned, that closeness, the trust that was there. And I think, as Barb said, he was the only one who was there. In that darkest hour, John was the only one who really came back and was close to Jesus. So there's a lot of different ideas that we have. A lot of people think that the Gospel of John was the last gospel to have been written. So this indicates to us that John wrote not fresh after all these events happened, but years and maybe decades later as an old man who had reflected. He had spent time not only with Jesus, but here we can see that he had spent a lot of time with Mary. He knew her stories. He was the one charged with helping her process her grief. Imagine the agony that Mary went through, that they all did, but especially Mary watching her son on the cross like that. So John had been there. He had had lots of time to think about it when he wrote his gospel. So it's interesting that as the one who we know really knew Mary really well, that John doesn't say anything about the Christmas story. John doesn't give us any stories about Jesus when he was a boy either, which is, I think, pretty interesting. The birth stories come from Matthew, who would have known Jesus, and Luke, who didn't. But they knew eyewitnesses and Luke talked to eyewitnesses, presumably Mary. But it's interesting. So even though he doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth or his childhood, which surely he had heard some of those stories, I think that he gives us something a little more. And we don't have, again, a ton in John about Jesus and Mary. This is one of the special things. Another one is Mary's involvement of convincing, persuading Jesus to turn the water into wine at that wedding in Cana. But other than that, again, not a whole lot of stories that we have on Mary's influence. And I think thinking about John and what he probably, the conversations he had with Mary, I'm guessing here, I'm speculating. One of the things that he probably heard as he was helping her process her grief was something along these lines. I just hope he knew how much I loved him. I just hope Jesus knew how much I loved him. Because isn't that the heart of a good parent? Like, as good parents, the thing that we want more than anything else is for our kids to just know how much they were loved. And we hope to get love back in return, some. But much more important to the heart of a good parent is that our kids just know how much they're loved. So perhaps when John is talking about being the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's not saying anything about being a favorite, but he's showing Mary, he's granting Mary's greatest request. He's saying, hey, yeah, I was a substitute for Jesus. And I got that message loud and clear. I'm loved. I was loved by God. I was loved. And I think, well, we'll get back to him. I want to look at something that he wrote later in 1 John 4:19. He makes this comment. We love because he first loved us. Who first loved Jesus? I mean, you could say God, right? But Jesus is a human when he was on earth. Who first loved Jesus? Mary, right? Mary is the first one that loved Jesus. All indications are from the Gospels, too, that John's mom loved him a whole lot. But Mary was the first person who loved Jesus. And John is saying that to love somebody else, you first have to be loved. So God, this is an incredible statement, I think, about Mary, too. God used Mary to lavish her love upon Jesus, the love of God, to help him identify. And thinking about how Jesus was identified by God, it was as the beloved Son of God. When Jesus started his ministry out and was baptized by John the Baptist, that was the voice that the Father wanted him to hear. This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Again, good parents love their kids. Why? Because they're the best, right? Well, maybe they are in our eyes, but why do good parents love their kids? Because they have to. That's true. We have to. Almost, well, maybe. But it's because they're ours, right? We love our kids before we even meet them. Like when we first get that news, hey, there's a baby coming, we love those kids immediately. It's there because, not because they've done anything. And think about the first years. I mean, they're cute, right? When they're really young, they're very cute and adorable. But they make you do a lot of work. You got to clean up diapers. You got to feed. You got to try to figure out what the cries mean. It can be really, you lose sleep. There's a lot of sacrifice, but we love our kids because they belong to us. John spent a lot of time with Jesus, and he spent a lot of time with Mary. And John's message, I think, that he didn't just tell stories about them, but his message was, his theme was, love. It's all over the Gospel of John. It's all over 1 John. But that, the theme of love. Even the most self-sufficient people among us, you had a time when someone had to take care of you. You had a time, even you may be self-sufficient now, but you had a time when all of your resources, you were dependent upon from someone else. Somebody had to feed you. Somebody had to clean up after you. Somebody had to heal you. You would not be here today if you were unloved. To even get to this point to survive, it requires being loved. Even the most self-sufficient, even the ones who feel like we're independent and can make it, don't need any help, someone else, we got that way, or we think we got that way, it depended on someone else paying the price. There are 7.8 billion people in this world, and to some of those, you are the most loved, important person in the world. Let that sink in. You're loved. You wouldn't be here if you were not. So when John said he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, it wasn't out of arrogance. It wasn't saying he was favored. It was recognizing. It was an honoring. He was honoring the one who loved him. It's what Jesus would have wanted him to know. It's what Mary would have wanted him to know. And again, if you are a parent, you will know this. It's the most important thing that you want your kid to know is that they are loved. And if they can say that, you feel at least you've succeeded on something. But that is, John was honoring the ones who loved him most by acknowledging what they wanted was true, that he experienced it. He was loved. So I want to encourage you here, this is a side note, but honor the people who love you, by maybe even expressing it, because maybe it's your parents or grandparents, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's aunt or uncle or somebody, a special friend. But just acknowledge that, because that's what they really want most for you, is for you to know that you are loved. It's not arrogant, it's out of gratitude. So I mentioned someone, I thought of someone who was on a mountain with Moses and God, and that person is John. And there is a story in the Gospels where Jesus is on a mountain and he's there with the trio of Peter, James, and John. And then Moses and Elijah join them. And God is there. The voice of God even speaks from that mountain. We'll go to that story. We're going to look at Mark's telling of it. Mark says this: after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them, and there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And God spoke. You think of that. God has a chance to speak here. You know, I was wanting God to really just speak, you know. But God has a chance to say something. And think about these witnesses. Moses is back somehow. Moses, the guy who had been given the Ten Commandments. Elijah, this prophet who went to heaven in a whirlwind and experienced and performed all these miracles. And then these disciples who are going to be charged with delivering, passing on this gospel that's changed the world. And Jesus is there. And Jesus, the Son, is... He knows his time is drawing near. He knows it's going to be really, really difficult. He's going through a tough time here. He's starting to feel that. He's starting to realize it's about to get difficult. So here we have God, these amazing prophets, these guys who are going to be charged with carrying on the gospel message, and Jesus, his Son, who's going through this difficult time. What would God say? Mark 9:7 says, "Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him.'" This time when God speaks on a mountain with Moses and a few others, he doesn't give 10 commandments, but he gets to the one that Jesus really emphasized, the new commandment of love. And he wants Jesus to know, you're loved. I'm behind you. I want other people to listen to you. You have my full support. Imagine again, you're in a similar situation. Your child's about ready to go through something really difficult, or you know this about the end. What is it that you would want to say? For a lot of us, it probably wouldn't be a whole lot different than what God the Father told Jesus the Son. "This is my Son," or "This is my daughter whom I love. I want you to know," these are my last words here, "but I want you to know I love you. I trust you. You have my full support." So let's go back again to McCormick's Creek. I didn't hear an audible voice of God, and I never have. But I sat there, and I took the canyon up the bluff, and I just kind of decided to invite God to speak and hope, hoping that I could sense, or hoping that God would say something to me that would be helpful. But I sat there and I listened to this waterfall. So we're going to try to... Okay, listen to this. See if you can hear what I heard. Thank you, media people. They did that quickly. Did you guys hear it? It was just the sound of rushing water, wasn't it? There was no voice. But I didn't hear a voice of God, but I heard rushing water, and that's a pretty nice sound too. But as I went to leave where I was watching the waterfall, I just kind of turned and I noticed a bench, and I took a picture of, there's the top of that bench. And the bench said, 1 John 4:16, "Love will be the winner." It was dedicated by a couple who had been married 70 years, Joe P. and Irene B. Rinkenberger, people I don't know. But this apparently memorial gift given about two people who had been together for 70 years. And that verse, 1 John 4:16, it was just like, that was the one. That was the one that I just kept noticing. That was the verse that I just felt like God telling me to keep paying attention to. And so as I looked at that, 1 John 4:16, it's this. Let's go ahead and put that up there. We love because, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Knowing God's love for me, just think it sounds a little arrogant. It's something I haven't been very comfortable with. But it's that thing that a parent really wants their kid to know. Know God's love and rely on it. And I think that that's what the Father was trying to help John to see through Jesus and through even Mary, but to know and rely on the love that God has for us. This was the message that Jesus needed to hear at the beginning of his ministry and at the end, that he was loved by the Father, and he could know it and rely on it. So, let's go back to that question. Why did God possibly choose John to write the Gospel of John and other great letters that have pointed out the love of Christ? Maybe one of the reasons why is because John was fortunate enough, was lucky enough, was blessed enough, however we want to say that, to have been loved by his mom. He had moms, not just his own, but Mary also, moms who loved him first. Moms who helped parents. We don't know, dads could have played a role too, but parents who convinced him that he was love. And that as he was loved, that love that he experienced could flow out to others. Knowing Christ, Christ can be known. His love can be known according to the scriptures. And so today, if there's this sense that you have, kind of like Alicia had last week, that you want to know Christ, that you want to follow Jesus, maybe you want to go public like Alicia and be baptized or just express that desire to come and follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only Son. I believe that Jesus is Lord and that whoever believes will not perish, will have abundant and eternal life. I want to know Christ. Please give me your Holy Spirit to lead me to follow Jesus, knowing and relying on the love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.